Chapter 5. The Autarch and Alathanas arrived in the field just outside the Raven Guard encampment within minutes of Crevan's return. The two Eldar rode their jet bikes to within a few meters of where the Thunderhawk Claw of Deliverance was preparing for liftoff. Crevan was aboard with his squad. He ordered the pilot, Radost, to wait. He pulled open the side door, jumped to the ground, and strode over to the two Xenos.
"You know of the land train?" Alathanas said.
"It destroyed 10 of my warriors."
"And many of ours. Autarch Eleira believes our strategies should be closely coordinated. We cannot confront the orcs in a direct contest."
Admitting the orcs' numerical and armor superiority to anyone other than his battle brothers went against Crevan's every instinct of honor and pride. Denying the truth of the assessment, however, would be madness. There was no time for grandstanding, and he had never had patience for commanders unwilling to face reality.
"I agree," he said,
looking directly at Eleira. She acknowledged him with a formal nod. Alathanas began.
"If the land train joins the main army..."
"We are aware of the danger,"
Crevan interrupted.
"We are fighting to keep them apart."
Eleira said something to the ranger. Alathanas translated.
"With respect, force may not be sufficient."
That, too, was true.
"What alternative do you propose?"
"We must make the orcs choose to take separate paths."
"I approve of the goal. You would need to offer them something very tempting for that to work."
"The Autarch proposes that we offer ourselves. All the Eldar on this planet will ride before the army, drawing it off before the land train arrives."
Crevan was impressed by the daring and the selflessness of the move. The sacrifice the Eldar were willing to offer was great. It was one that would make no sense if there wasn't something more important to the Eldar than any of their lives on this planet, in the city. For Crevan, the conversation took on the aspect of a duel. He and the Eldar were using verbal camouflage as they sought to outflank each other. Every word spoken was true, and every word spoken was beside the point. The Eldar needed the orcs destroyed so they could find their true target. Crevan had come to rid the planet of the orcs, but to the larger game of luring the Overfiend to the system was added the necessity of uncovering the Eldar game.
"Your plan does you great honor,"
Crevan said. And he, too, was speaking the truth, even while he thought how profoundly he distrusted the Eldar motives for undertaking this action.
"Should you succeed, have you considered how to survive that pursuit?"
"Speed has always been our weapon. If the orcs look to our annihilation rather than to besiege the city, we will have greater scope for action,"
Alathanas said.
Crevan visualized the territory. "There are gullies to the east," he said. "If they follow you there, their mobility will be compromised."
Alathanas translated for the Autarch. She inclined her head again. The ranger said,
"We thank you for the information. You will mount an assault on the train?"
"Yes, it will not reach the city."
"Then we wish you victory."
The sentiment sounded heartfelt. It was difficult to read what move in the duel it concealed. Crevan wondered if the ranger had his leader's full confidence. Having him speak made Eleira's strategy even harder to divine, especially if Alathanas believed what he was saying. Yet the Autarch was not wearing her helmet. She was looking at Krivan with a clear gaze and an expression that spoke of the respect of one veteran warrior for another. She spoke now, her Gothic labored but correct.
"Your alliance is an honor," she said.
"As is yours,"
Krivan said. He had expected to grind his teeth. Instead, the words came easily. They were true, without qualification, without subterfuge. The skill of the Saim Han was ferocious. Krivan knew this from having fought them in the past. As formidable as these Xenos warriors were, they were as badly overmatched as they had been the night before. The orcs were stronger, more numerous, and better equipped than either Eldar or Space Marines had expected. What Eleira planned verged on martyrdom. The Eldar departed, bikes streaking over the morning field of a paradise tipped into war. Krivan returned to the Claw of Deliverance. As the gunship took off, he looked out of a viewing block. He followed the track of the two warriors as they joined the larger stream of skimmers. They flowed out of reclamation to hook up with the patrols that would now be converging on the orcs. Krivan appreciated the art that he saw. He understood the elegance of the perfectly executed attack. Whether it came from the shadows or the wind, the enemy did not see the blow coming until it was too late. Just as the Eldar would not see his blade until it was deep in their flesh. He thought about the melter bombs planted on the skimmers, awaiting his will. He looked across the troop compartment at Thane. The Tech Marine's face was expressionless. Much of his flesh had given way to machinic replacement. His eyes were black crystal lenses. His lips were a grill that was a mirror of his helmets. The larynx through which he spoke delivered his words in a flat monotone. The cock of his head was expressive, though. "He can see my doubts," Krivan thought.
"What do the Eldar intend?" Thane asked. "To fight a heroic and perhaps doomed battle. Their plan is much like ours, then." Was Thane capable of humor? That was a mystery Krivan had tried and failed to pierce several times in the past. He decided to take the words at face value.
"Quite,"
he said. They had no real intelligence on the land train beyond Kyligus's aborted vox transmission. But the obliteration of the squad told an important story. All 10 of the Raven Guard gone in seconds. The rest of 8th Company would be up against a weapon that was the equal, at least, of the entire Green Skin Army. Thane was still watching him.
"A question, Shadow Captain."
"Go ahead, brother."
"Do you believe we were in error in our judgment of the Eldar?"
Having his doubts spoken aloud gave them added force.
"We were wise to prepare for the worst eventuality," he said, knowing that that was not what Thane had asked.
The Tech Marine said nothing in response. He remained motionless, impassive, while Krivan examined his own reasoning. He did not trust the Eldar. No human should. And after the orcs were crushed, the Eldar would have to leave Lepidus or be exterminated in turn. These facts were givens. There could be no tolerance of Xenos' presence on an Imperial world. Krivan, though, had acted on a presumption of hostilities.
"Why did you plant the bombs?"
"Because Eldar have a deeper agenda.
one that you know to be inimical to Imperium? If it is for Xenos' ends, it is inimical. That truth wasn't enough. It was a principle so universal it might as well have been background radiation. It did not speak to his personal decision. Krevan looked deeper. It was his responsibility as captain to know the source of his commands. That was intelligence, at least as vital as understanding the enemy. He found himself turning to his experiences in the Death Watch. Mission after mission, decade after decade of Xenos extermination. The reflex to plan the violent end of the Eldar on Lepidus was as natural as breathing. But what of honor? That mattered too. What if the Eldar are truly acting in good faith? Doubts on that side too. But the possibility was there. He could not deny the reality of what they were attempting in the battlefield. He looked up at Thane.
"Brother Tekmarine," he said, "you asked earlier if there was any chance we would not use the bombs. You have decided that there is, Shadow Captain?"
Krevan nodded.
"We will give the Eldar the opportunity to prove themselves. If they act honorably, they will be allowed to depart the planet without harm."
Thane looked out through the viewing block on his side of the compartment.
"I can see the greenskins," he said. "Their force is colossal. They may not grant the Eldar the chance that you offer."
"It would," Krevan said, "be in our best interests that they do."
Radost's voice sounded from the vox speakers.
"Land train in sight."
Krevan rose, opened the front door, and climbed the ladder into the cockpit. He looked ahead. He saw the train. It was the antithesis of the Raven Guard way of war. It was monstrous. It was snake and mountain chain. It was machinery that had become the brutality of strength itself. The train rumbled across the plain, gouging a long wound over the landscape. Its current position was just to the south of the higher, rockier, gully-riven terrain. A few kilometers to the northwest, the Orc army fought the squads of 8th Company. The formation of Eldar skimmers was moments away from joining the fight.
"All squads," Krevan voxed, "leave the Orcs to the Eldar. Converge on the train." "What do you suppose will kill that thing?" Rados asked.
"The same things that will kill anything else," Krevan said. "Shadows and knowledge, brother. Shadows and knowledge."
The Space Marines left the field as the Saim Han closed in. Their jump packs took them away in steep climbs. Alathanas saw what looked like a flight of black iron birds shooting upwards. They were harsh silhouettes, fire and darkness cutting wounds against the sky. The humans lacked grace in their methods of combat, he thought. But there was a cold, merciless precision at work. To be dismissive of it would be to fall to it. The Orcs were convinced of the Raven Guard threat. The army was having to advance through hundreds of its dead. 2- and 4-wheeled vehicles smoldered, almost all of them killed in the middle of the road, where they would hamper the Orcs' forward march. The horde had spilled up the slopes on either side of the road, and more of them had died there. The Raven Guard's kills had eaten into the coherence of the Orc army. It still advanced, but more slowly. Eddies of confusion slowed it down. The Orcs were striking out in all directions and were unable to find a concentrated foe. Instead, they had been struck again and again by single warriors and small hit teams. The Orcs had drawn their own blood.
Alathana saw, scattered over the hills and on the road, the giant bodies of the Space Marines. Their armor had been shattered by massive projectiles and repeated explosive attacks. Orcs were still raining blows on the corpses. The green tide bellowed in triumph as its foe departed and raged in frustration that its prey was slipping from its grasp. The orc sent a storm of ordnance into the skies. As if governed by a single thought, they all turned their eyes upwards. They were so intent on bringing down the giant humans that they paid no attention to the ground.
"They don't see us," Alathanas thought.
He rode just behind the Ortak. Behind his helmet, he grinned for the first time in days. The Saimhan slashed into the orc's front lines. Eleira led them in a narrow wedge. The jet bike's catapults launched their monomolecular discs into the horde. The shuriken sliced through muscle and bone, dismembered and disemboweled. They blinded and they opened throats, and they even cut through weapons. Some orcs found their prized possessions coming apart in their hands. Others tried to fire the damaged gear and lost hands or lives as the guns blew up. The jet bikes carved their way through the orcs until Eleira signaled a turn and led the squadron out of their midst towards the south. She hesitated briefly at the first gully. Alathanas looked back. The orcs had given up on the Raven Guard. They were now sending all their wrath towards the Eldar. Their fire was indiscriminate, inaccurate, and plentiful. Rounds chewed up the nearby ground. One hit the cowling of his jetbike. The orcs did not pursue. Though distracted, they were still moving down the road towards the junction that would take them to the city, and the boon that would make them unstoppable. Eleira turned to Passavan.
"The strategy will work," the Farseer said, "for good or ill."
"For both," Eleira shot back. Then she was riding again, leading them all again, a crimson spear aimed at the orcish heart. They could not pierce that heart. Alathanas knew that. The body of the horde was too strong, too resilient in numbers. Even so, the satisfaction of retaliation was visceral. The retreat at the bridge had been a profound humiliation. Now the orcs were learning the cost of that affront. He was grinning again as the bikes hit the orcs for a second time. The rush of speed was even greater inside the green tide. He was surrounded by fragmentary images of orc faces. They raged, they screamed, and they bled and died. He saw a blur of green, of clawed fists turning blades and guns his way. They were so slow they appeared frozen. The orc's sluggishness was an illusion, a dangerous one. It encouraged recklessness. It bred disaster. Eleira knew this. She guided her warriors back out once more before the orcs could arrest their flight. But Alathanas still heard the crunch of a high-velocity impact, the singing wrench of disintegrating wraithbone, the cry of a rider who was not killed on the instant and instead fell to the butchery of the orcs. A battle wagon pushed past the wreckage of one of its kin. It surged forwards, cannon and side guns blazing. A shell burned through the air over Alathanas's head. It struck a jet bike 3 back from him. The explosion took out the skimmer, its rider, and the orcs in immediate proximity. Earth, flesh, and wreckage rained back down. Bringing up the rear of the Eldar formation was the sole remaining Viper. Its gunner, Selandria, turned the bright lance against the tank. Its beam scorched the armor, shearing right through the thinner plating of the shutters. It cut the side gunners in half. The cannon swung at the Viper. Selandria trained the beam on the barrel of the gun. The battle wagon fired as the skimmer passed close. Warped by the lance, the cannon burst apart. Selandria staggered as shrapnel bit into her armor. The battle wagon was bereft of weapons, except its very mass. The maniacal frustration of its driver was audible well beyond the tank itself. As the Viper veered away from the tank, following the jet bikes, the battle wagon gave chase. It broke out of the greater mass of the army and headed out across the plain after the Eldar. The other orcs on vehicles did the same. Most of the bikes and buggies in the front half of the orc advance had been destroyed by the Raven Guard, but another wave had been riding escort to the rearward tanks, and its vehicles now roared free of the choke point. Blue and black smoke choked the air. The drivers pursued the Saim Han with total disregard of common sense. Rough terrain or smooth made little difference to the skimmers. The jet bikes flew above the uneven ground. The orcs came at such speed that they caught up to the Eldar. For a few orcs, that was all that they did. Their bikes hit rock outcroppings. The drivers lost control. The vehicles went into violent rolls. Still, the bikes kept coming. The more stable buggies weren't far behind. Sprays of bullets covered the Eldar formation. They began to take their toll. Two more riders were killed. The last of the enemy force passed through the choke point, unleashing still more vehicles. The final two battle wagons joined in the hunt. So did the infantry. The orcs had taken the bait. The Saim Han raced to the gullies. The formation broke up. A handful of bikes dropped down each slope. They spread out over the terrain. They were no longer a coherent force. Having enticed the orcs, the Eldar denied them a concentrated group of targets. The green tide had numbers enough to cover the entire area. The orcs poured into the maze of narrow streams and high cliffs. The duel began.